Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself.
Welcome to the E-Lounge. I am excited today that we are coming to you to talk about nonprofits in this giving season. November, December, as we head into the holiday season, charities are on our mind. Giving to others is on our mind. Paying it forward, giving back, helping somebody in need is on our mind. So we are excited today to have a very special guest, Ms. Kenetta Calloway, in the lounge with my co-hosts, Ms. Shankara and Titania. Annette is out of the area, and so we're holding it down for our sister, Shankara. Titania, say hello to the people.
Hey, hello, hey, people.
All right. Listen, as I said, we have a wonderful guest today, Ms. Kenetta Calloway, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about her, and then we're going to jump right on in. Kenetta is the founder and executive director of Broken Chains, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. She is a native Washingtonian. She has lived, educated, married, raised her children, all in the great city of DC. She's a mother, sister, aunt, friend, mentor, leader, and most recently retired from 38 years of federal government service. So in her post-retirement plans, she had planned to travel the world. But as you guys know, COVID-19 changed all of those plans. And so she started to really look inward. And as we've been talking about, COVID really has given us an opportunity to think about things that are more important in life, right? And so it gave her an opportunity to look at her purpose and passion. And that's when she founded Broken Chains. Broken Chains was conceived out of challenges of having to provide support to a loved one released from prison. She tells us that 7 years ago, her children's father was released from prison and re-entered society. It was a wonderful time, but also a very challenging one. Trying to get assistance, trying to find someone to help them reintegrate him back into society. Very challenging time. According to the DC Department of Corrections facts and figures from April 2021, an average of 2,000 inmates were released back into society between the years of 2019 and 2021. Many of them returned home without any support of family or friends, and they lacked the knowledge of who to contact or where to go to obtain vital assistance needed to sustain them. So as a result, many returning citizens become homeless or incarcerated or reincarcerated within the first 3 to 5 years, my God, of release from prison. So it's vitally important that returning citizens have a support system in which they can rely on to help them successfully reintegrate back into society. So Broken Chain's mission is to increase community support, access information to educate and empower returning citizens in DC. And it's their mission to help reduce the rate of recidivism and increase the rate of success stories of returning citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, Kenetta Calloway with Broken Chains. Yay!
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Kelly. Thank you. It is such an honor to be a part of or a guest on your e-lounge this evening and a part of an illustrious group of previous guests. It's just an honor to be able to have this opportunity to come and talk about Broken Chains, the work we do, the passion that we have in serving our community. And I'm just elated. I'm excited and I'm elated. And on behalf of my board, we thank you. Again, I am Kenetta Calloway. I am the founder and executive director of Broken Chains. I have to say, I've served in various leadership and management positions throughout my federal career of 38 years. And as a senior analyst, I served as a coach, mentor, advisor, teacher, facilitator, confidant, and friend. However, amongst the many roles and positions I've held throughout my life, both professionally and personally, my greatest accomplishment and joy has been when I'm helping people be their best. I guess some would describe me as, a servant leader. I don't know. I've heard people use that term many times before. But I guess if I had to really define it or look it up, I would say that a lot of those attributes are probably true about myself. I'm the oldest of five siblings, two sisters and five stepbrothers. Phew. It has definitely been great being a big sister. However, with being a big sister comes a lot of responsibility and burden. And then I realized being a firstborn, you're a leader. You have to definitely set good examples for your siblings to follow and hope that, you know, you are making a positive impact in their life. I basically was responsible, the one responsible for taking care of my two sisters while my mom worked two jobs. I was responsible for getting them off to school, picking them up from the babysitters after school, as well as getting them dressed and fed while my mom was working. So I guess my role as a leader developed very early in life. Not something that I've always wanted it to be. I never really foresaw myself as being a leader. However, I think a lot of it being the firstborn is just, you know, it's just by default. And it's also, I think, is inherent. You know, you just realize that, you know, you're in a position where you have to take responsibility. And I just did the best I could.
I know that's right. Listen, sometimes we're thrown into leadership positions and you just got to do what you got to do to get it done. You know,
that is so true. That is so true.
Definitely. So listen, Broken Chains. Tell us about Broken Chains, where that name comes from.
You know, mm-hmm. I thought about, you know, what it means to be chained, you know, what it means to be oppressed, what it means to be restricted. And I realized, I said, you know, in order to break all those things, you have to break the chains. So I prayed about it. And I said, Lord, you give me the name that you would that you want me to have for this organization. And the next day I woke up and I said, it's going to be Broken Chains, because I feel like that signifies the breaking of the barriers, the breaking of the chains, the breaking of the oppression that returning citizens face when not only when they're released, but also while they're incarcerated. So our mission is basically to help remove those barriers and break those chains.
Wow. That is amazing. And I know, you know, you shared a little bit with us in your bio that one of the impetus of creating Broken Chains was your children's father coming out of incarceration and all the challenges that you ran into in trying to get him assistance. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I think the initial challenge was facing the reality that, you know, my children's father was home and actually wanted to be reintegrated back into their lives. That was something that I had to really take a look at and come to the acceptance that it's their right to know their father, to have them in their life. However, I wanted to be in a position where I can help facilitate that process. And when he came to me to really ask for support, you know, I had to say in my heart, Kaneda, are you ready for this? Is this something you're ready to do? And being a Christian, I had to say, you know, God teaches us that, you know, one, we have to forgive. Two, if your brother comes to you in earnest, that you need to be there to support him or her. And I said, okay, we talked. And I said, well, sure, we'll do the best that we can to support you. However, in accepting that responsibility, I didn't know a lot about what to do, how to go about getting assistance, you know, how to go about applying for social services. He had a cousin who helped him get his identification, but still he did not have a job. So he needed a lot of our financial support, although he didn't ask for it. But it was just understood that in order for him to be successful, he also needed that financial support. So, you know, over a period of time, you know, we were able to help him get to a point where he can find a job and help support himself. It was just vitally important that, you know, we be strong enough as a family to help support him in that way. And then, and also doing so, you know, there were some challenges, you know, with children being able to, you know, accept their father back in their life and not really having that real relationship with him prior to him coming home. And aside from that, they still longed for him to be in their life. They just didn't know how to facilitate that whole dynamic of him coming back home, getting to know someone again, you know, being able to be at a point of maturity to be able to talk about things that you may not wanted to talk about that were hard for you. So, you know, it took a lot. It took a lot of us researching what resources were available here in the city, how we could position ourselves and being able to help him as far as I helped him write his resume, you know, helped him research jobs, get the job, you know, I helped provide transportation to get him to the job. You know, it was a lot. I would say this, it was a big sacrifice, but honestly, it was well worth the sacrifice. And it led to family reunification for my children as well as myself.
Okay, so how important is that? When you talk about the number of African-American men in particular who are incarcerated in this nation, the number then who are trying to come home and reintegrate themselves into society, not just society, but into their families.
Mm-hmm.
It's about forgiveness.
Yes.
Making sure that, you know, you were able to embrace him fully.
And yes.
You have a wonderful heart, honey, because I know a whole lot of people. I mean, honestly.
I'm there with you. And you're absolutely right. You know, the truth of the matter is, I have to say and be honest about this. Honestly, I think if it wasn't for my kids, I don't know if I would have been that open to providing that support. You know, it really was my motivation, highly was my children. Because I knew that they still needed their father. They still longed for him to be in their life. And not only that, they needed to understand and learn the person that they had always envisioned. You know, we always fantasize about people we don't see and we're not in our lives. But when you have to actually deal with them and interact with them, that could be totally different. It could be a whole different dynamic. So, I never painted a picture of who their father was. I always, you know, tried to speak very highly of him, despite the circumstances. You know, I never talked negative about him, but I always wanted my children to still have an opportunity to know their father for themselves.
Yeah.
And I can tell you this, it was not easy. It took a lot of communication, honest and open communication. You know, and sometimes that wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for me as an individual. It wasn't easy for my children to be able to communicate truly their feelings. It took a lot of hard conversations, you know, to get to that point. And I have to say that we're in a much better place today than we were on day one.
Yeah. And you know what I love about it, too, is you have experience. So you bring experience into your nonprofit when you're dealing with other families who have family members who are coming out of prison and need assistance. You can talk to them about some of the challenges that you ran into. You could talk to them about the emotional piece, you know, just, you know, having to forgive and having to, you know, look beyond, okay, yeah, you made a mistake or whatever, but I'm here for you. You have a story that will help, that is helping many other families who are going through the very same thing. So that's what I love. I love hearing stories about people paying forward from their journey experiences.
And I just have to say, you know, that it basically, I was truly led by God. I can say my situation is probably a little different from most. While we did not seek out professional counseling, I would encourage families who are considering, you know, supporting their loved ones who come home to definitely get counseling. Get counseling not just for themselves, but for the family, if they're able to. I know a lot of organizations and even through your health insurances, sometimes they will pay for that. And I can tell you that is vitally important. you know, again, thankfully, you know, we were in a situation where we could, and I have to say this too, my family, my mother, my stepfather, my sisters, my brothers, they played a vital role in helping to facilitate all of that as well. Because, you know, they knew him before, they know him now, and they were able to speak to him on a level where they can be honest. They could be candid about things, you know, and while sometimes those things were a little tough to talk about, they were necessary to talk about. You have to be honest. You have to allow your children to be open and they being able to provide an environment that's safe for them to express their feelings. And while my children now are adults, they still need that support.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So listen, Kaneta, pivoting a little bit to some of the people in DC that you've, some of the families that you've helped, talked about, you know, the fact that they knew their family member or their friend when they went in. They don't necessarily know what all they went through while they were in and now they're out.
Right.
What are some of the challenges that you've seen some of the other families experience receiving their family or friend come out of prison? What are some of those challenges? And specifically, you know, from a from an assistance standpoint,
right,
but also from, you know, other support, counseling.
Right. I can tell you this. most families, first of all, when you know of a loved one coming home, you automatically, it's just natural for you to want to help. A lot of times they're helping in a way of being financial, wanting to provide things for their family members, which is great. That's well, that's all well and good. However, a lot of times there are a lot of emotional issues, not issues, but emotional adjustments that, you know, returning citizens have to make. They're coming into an environment that is absolutely foreign to them. A lot of them have been gone for a long time, trying to get acclimated, learning their family members again. A lot of the family members when they left aren't the same family members when they return home. You know, a lot of them may, of course, probably were very young. Now they're adults, you know. A lot of times, you know, people try to reassimilate back into the family and life from once they knew, you know, expecting having the same somewhat expectations of sometimes entitlement, you know, sometimes feeling like, you know, woe is me, you know, how come you're not helping me? Well, you have to set boundaries and let people know, you know, and be honest. Sometimes you just don't have the means to help, you know. While you may want to, you may not have the means to help. You may not have room on your sofa for your other family member, you know, to come and live. The sofa may already be occupied. You may not even have enough room and, you know, enough food in your refrigerator. You may be food deprived yourself. You know, you may be living in a situation where, you know, you're one rent payment from being evicted. You know, there are a lot of issues that may exist already in the family dynamic when your loved one come home and you just can't afford to bring, you know, another person into an environment which is unstable or unhealthy. You know, so a lot of times you need to be honest. You know, while you want to help, sometimes it's not possible to help. Sometimes you have to strongly rely on government and other nonprofit organization services to help to provide the needs for your loved one. You know, like again, I said, I think, you know, in my situation, it was rather unique. Thank God we were in a good place in life. You know, I do know that, you know, there have been many cases where, you know, family members come home and they just honestly don't have anywhere else to go. You know, literally, they have to hop couches, beds from home, from family member to family member, literally sleeping in people's cars until they can find housing. So, you know, you have to really be honest with your own situation. You know, you don't want to take on more than you can handle. And then not only that, realizing too, what situation, what relationship do you currently have with that individual? You know, what was the situation was like when you left, when the person left? You know, what kind of contact have you had with them since they've been gone? You know, so you have to really set, you know, put yourself in a situation of realizing, you know, our relationship wasn't that great before you left. You know, I don't feel comfortable having you back into my home or even with my kids. There could have been a situation where, you know, there were court orders where they can't see their kids. So you have to be, you know, cognizant of those things too. You don't want to put your children in a situation or setting them up to for failure when they have a desire to want to be united with their mom or their dad when legally they're not supposed to. So there are a lot of nuances and there are a lot of things we as, you know, humans need to take in consideration when our loved ones come home. While we definitely want to help a lot of times, we have to really consider our situation and any other legal circumstances that may be prohibiting us from doing so.
Absolutely. And you know what? And that's why organizations like Broken Chains are so important. It's organizations like yours that help them through those nuances and help them to find the assistance and the services out there that they need. So they're not feeling like they have to take it on all on them, all on, you know.
On their own, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So Kenetta, this has been wow. Wow. I tell you what, you know, so much that we don't, you know, unless you've experienced it, you really don't know that, I call it that world. You know, unless you have lived it. And so, again, wow, what an awesome service you give to those families having loved ones or family members or friends coming home. So right now, we are going to do what we do. We're going to pay some bills. Break. We're going to take a short break real quick. E-Lounge listeners, I hope you're getting some good nuggets out of this conversation, but guess what? There is more to come when we come back. We're going to come back with another one of our co-hosts who's going to continue the conversation with Kenetta Calloway of Broken Chains. Be right back.
Classy, chic, cultured, custom group travel. That's the Exceptional Travel Destination Travel Club way. From Miami to Dubai and all the places in between, XCD Travel Club has you covered. Whether you're planning a vacation or staycation, here at XCD Travel Club, we believe your next vacation is only limited to how big you are willing to dream. Customized, all exclusive, upscale travel for groups is what we do. Celebrating a milestone birthday, anniversary, or just want to get away with family and friends, but you want someone else to plan the trip? From the black car service that picks you up and takes you to the airport to the group dinner at your all-inclusive resort, well, our XTV Concierge Travel Service has you covered. And did we mention we offer installment payment plans on many of our packages? Well, we do. So we've got you covered there too. You just tell us where and when, and we will take care of the rest. Visit us today on the web at www.exceptionaltravel.com. That's exceptional with an X. On Facebook at Exceptional Travel Destinations Travel Club, or on Instagram at Exceptional Travel Destinations, or call us at 844-XTV-TRAVEL and get ready to live, explore, and celebrate one XTV vacation at a time. Mention code EELVK10 and receive 10% off your first travel package with XTV Travel Club.
And today we have an amazing guest, Ms. Kenetta Calloway, owner and founder of Broken Chains, LLC. Before we went to break, Kenetta was sharing with us not only her personal story, but about the challenges and the amazing benefits that her organization, Broken Chains, has been able to provide to those individuals coming out of, after being incarcerated, coming home and trying to get their legs back up under them and being able to be contributing members to society, right? So just an amazing conversation. And we want to keep that conversation going because, you know, I have a feeling there's somebody out here that may be listening to this show tonight that this may be able to help. So we want to make sure that we get all the information we can out to those individuals that may need assistance from an organization like Broken Chains, or who may even want to help out the organizations and maybe be a volunteer with the Broken Chains. So we want to keep this whole momentum going and this discussion going. Kaneta, I know that anytime you have a nonprofit or any organization, you're an entrepreneur, you run into challenges, right? I know that. From dealing with broken systems to gaining the trust of the recently released inmates, tell us about some of the challenges that you've come up against since you started your foundation and you've been working with individuals that are coming home and trying to be, re-engaged within their communities.
Yes, there are a lot of challenges. That's a good question too. Most returning citizens come home, and basically their immediate need is being able to find housing. Housing is one of the biggest challenges we have in helping returning citizens get situated, get into a place where they can have reasonable shelter, and help them to be able to get to a point mentally that they can feel like that they can call somewhat home. Unfortunately, until then, they're faced with having to go through a lot of different transitional housing. Some have to end up staying in halfway houses a little longer than they would like. And that's basically because through a lot of the government services, there are a limited number of vouchers that are dispersed. And once the vouchers run out, then you're forced to be put on a waiting list. And as we know, with waiting lists, those waiting lists sometimes are already years behind. And there's no preference given to a lot of times returning citizens. There are some circumstances where, you know, you're homeless and you're in situations where perhaps, you know, you're in a volatile situation and, you know, you need to receive housing quickly, especially if you have families. Then those circumstances may be expedited. However, a lot of times, you know, you put on waiting lists. There are some nonprofit organizations and some other organizations that do provide housing. However, the demand is far greater than what's available, you know. A lot of times, you know, they, you know, endeavor to want to provide housing for all those who, you know, come to those organizations, but they just don't have the capacity. And unfortunately, this will result in an increase in homelessness. Mm-hmm. In addition, many services aren't instant. Again, there's still waiting lists for, you know, social services. They're waiting lists for just about everything in regards to governmental and non-governmental, unfortunately. But that's why it's vitally important, you know, that we be in a position to help at least provide referrals, especially if we know places that provide housing, that we're able to make those referrals. And then too, a lot of times with returning citizens, there are a lot of stipulations on when they come home, where they can stay, where they can't stay, you know, they can't be in certain environments. So, you know, you have to take all of that into consideration.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. And unless you, and I think Kelly said it earlier, unless you have had that, had someone, a loved one that is coming home, or you're in a nonprofit like you're working in and trying to help out, you don't necessarily know that, you don't necessarily have the insight into what these people, individuals deal with, right? Trying to just become productive members of society again now that they have come home, right? And that's a lot to deal with. So that's amazing. So I just want to kind of duly note it. Like, if there's anyone out here listening to the show today who has housing, right, that may be available to for some of these individuals that are coming out. We're definitely going to make sure you get Kenetta's information at the end of the show. You can reach out to her directly and let her know if you have a room or if you have, you know, whatever you have that you may be able to offer up to help some individuals who are trying to get back into society and, again, be contributing members of society. You know, they need that help. So definitely keep listening. We'll make sure we get that information to you if you have that resource available to you. Can you tell us one of your proudest and most successful stories with an inmate that's come out that your organization has helped? Tell us that story.
Sure. I was just basically in a local business shopping. And I think I had to return something, and one of the managers helped me. And he had inquired about, as a matter of fact, there were 7 laptops we had bought because we were basically implementing a study lab to help returning citizens and other underserved to basically come into a study lab and take accredited courses online. And we had gotten a donation of some laptops in which I had to return the ones that I purchased. So he had asked the question, well, why are you returning them? And I told him, you know, that we thankfully had gotten a donation of laptops. And I further explained to him about my nonprofit and what we do. And he was very intrigued. He says, as a matter of fact, we hire returning citizens. I said, is that right? So he did indicate to me that, you know, when they are hiring, that he would be open to considering hiring returning citizens. So as the season changed, I reached out to him and reminded him of our conversation. And he said, sure, send the applicants over, have them apply, and I will pull their applications. And recently, 3 of those clients have been hired by this business. And we'll actually be starting in a couple of weeks.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing. That's networking for you, right? That's amazing.
Absolutely.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I am always networking, believe me.
Wow, that is amazing. You use a word, you use a phrase I don't think I've ever heard before. You said returning citizens.
Yes, that's
you said returning citizens. I never heard that, but that's a great way to say that. And I have a question. Why do you say returning citizens as opposed to something else? Is that because I know people a lot of times, we don't talk about that a lot, but people get a label, right? They get labeled.
Absolutely.
And so I'm assuming, and I could be very wrong here, that phrase was coined to help people not feel like they've been labeled, just to say a returning citizen. Am I right?
That's absolutely right. And it creates, it puts it more in a politically correct term. You're right. You don't want to be labeled, you know, and then to say, you know, convicts or for instance, these are terms that was used previously. It has a stigma attached to that.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, to make a person feel like exactly they're a returning citizen. They were a citizen when they were incarcerated and they're returning back to the city that they once lived in and loved, and they are returning citizens.
Wow. I like that. Yeah. Returning citizens. That just stuck out to me when I heard you say that. I was like, wow, that's a good way to say it. I'm gonna have to start using that. That's a great way to make people feel as though they are, you know, part of whatever this is that we have, right? And not feeling like they're stigmatized or they're ostracized. That's a great way to say it. That's awesome. You know, yeah. I know it's got to be incredibly rewarding, but I know doing this kind of work, you know, it's hard to not get attached, right?
Yes.
Why did not get attached? So how do you keep from becoming too invested personally with your returning citizens?
That's a good question, Shankara. Basically, it's a balance. You know, as a human being, it's hard not to feel compassion, you know, for your returning citizens. However, you know, I try to remain focused on helping them to meet their needs, you know, while setting clear expectations of how we can work together to be successful, you know, and giving them, you know, as much information as I can, you know, to help them be empowered and educated, you know, so they can be resilient and trying to overcome a lot of the barriers that they will face. But yeah, it's hard, especially when, you know, you've had particularly in my instance, when I've had loved ones, you know, who were incarcerated and come home, it's hard not to treat them like family. Because when they come home, I first thing I tell them, welcome home. You have a support system here, and I have to be honest. I let them know what we can and cannot do. I don't want to set them up for failure. I don't want to kind of paint this rosy picture that we can do everything, and a lot of it is really contingent upon them doing their part. There's a part they have to play too. So all the responsibility and burden is not on us. They have to take ownership of wanting to, make a difference in their lives and be successful. But it is hard, but you have to have a balance.
That's awesome. I tell you that's awesome. You do have to have a balance. I know it takes a lot of energy, right? And I just kind of want to pivot here and talk a little bit about the business aspect of a nonprofit, right? Mm-hmm. That's how you had to go about setting up your nonprofit, what research you had to do to get it started, what have been some of your big challenges with getting the nonprofit started? Because again, you just never know who's listening. And what you may share may help someone else. God has pricked their heart to do something maybe very similar or maybe just like what you're doing. If there's someone out here that needs it, kind of tell us, what that journey has been like to get the nonprofit started.
Wow, that's another good question. As in starting any business, you really need to read, and read a lot. Research everything you can on the subject matter. Talk to, experts, talk to people who are already in the business, talk to people about, what are the pitfalls in starting a business or a nonprofit? What are the benefits of, having a nonprofit? A lot of times nonprofits are started, off of the passion that you have of wanting to serve your community, which is that's great. I think that's a wonderful thing. We need people and, who have the heart to want to do that. However, it's would be in your best interest, wanting to start a nonprofit in particular, to definitely do your research, because there are a lot of legal implications. There are a lot of state and federal regulations that you must be in compliance with. One of the books that I've read, of the many books that I've read, shall I say, I highly recommend for those who are interested in starting a nonprofit to read the Start a 501c3 Nonprofit That Doesn't Ruin Your Life by attorney Audrey K. Chisholm. Mm. This book has become my business Bible. I basically refer to this book. It's an A to Z book. It's basic, very simple to read. It's very resourceful. It goes into basically telling you from step A to B what steps you need to follow initially in becoming a nonprofit, from incorporating your business, filing for EIN, filing for your federal tax exemption, filing for your state exemption and business license to operate. It gives you all the nuts and bolts. It gives you all the resources on how to really start a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. Definitely do your research. I've researched everything from Bureau of Prison Statistics on population, on prison populations, cost of housing an inmate, recidivism, the impact of imprisonment on the community. Go to your local governments and research everything that you can on them and any laws, so you can understand and be better equipped to be able to kind of help navigate the process, as well as also help advocate on their behalf. Join national organizations, join local organizations, attend as many, conferences, work groups, workshops, network is a big one. I can't emphasize networking enough. In addition, I attended a 12-week course with the nonprofit incubator, Ms. Deidre Spears Johnson, who's also the founder of Heart to Hand, which is one of the leading nonprofit public health organizations for HIV. She gives this 12-week course, virtual online course. It's phenomenal. You learn so much about how to start a nonprofit. You know, she walks you through the process. She basically breaks it down on the importance of how to set up your board of directors, you know, how to basically develop programs for your organization. I mean, it's all encompassing. You know, it's not free, but I tell you, this is so worth the investment. Wow. Again, you know, do your research. Talk to people who are already in the business, you know, talk to people that you want to, that you aspire to be like. Look at those nonprofits out there that serves as models and, you know, talk to those people and learn what did they do to be successful. Wow. So, you know, it takes a lot. I mean, and you definitely have to make sure, you know, that you understand the importance of being in compliance, you know. You don't want to have to do all the work and, you know, try to start a nonprofit and you're not in compliance. Not to say that you won't, you know, it's not like you can't do a do-over, but it's still a lot of work and money that you've invested right. and will have to reinvest. So if you right. do it right the first time, then you don't have to worry about it. You know, awesome. Find, you know, recouping those costs, I mean, recovering, having that expense again.
Wow, that's amazing. So I'm going to recap a couple of things I heard you say. You mm-hmm. said support. You said get involved with local and national organizations that are supporting whatever it is you're looking to do from a nonprofit perspective. Get educated, take classes, right? There's a book out here, I believe you said her name was Audrey Chisholm, is that correct?
Attorney, yes, Audrey Chisholm.
Chisholm, mm-hmm. and the book is mm-hmm. called Starting a Nonprofit That Does Not Ruin Your Life. So yes. You listen to this, this is great information that Kaneta is sharing with us this evening. We're going to just take another break here. We got to go pay some bills. So we're going to pause for the calls. And absolutely. We're going to come right back with Kaneta Calloway as we continue our discussions with the owner and founder of Broken Chains.
On January 25th, 2018, Danish Jones died on her bedroom floor after experiencing a severe asthma attack, but was given a second chance at life. There's nothing like a near-death experience to wake you up and shake you up. She has spent years of being personally mentored by some of the greatest law of attraction gurus, such as Lisa Nichols, Deepak Chopra, Les Brown, and Bob Proctor, learning the secrets of manifesting and living the life on your highest vibration. In this manual, she gives clear, practical ways for you to experience the abundance that has been given to us all as a birthright. Can a dress change your life? Absolutely, as long as you know the right ways to dress yourself. And it all starts with a look in the mirror. Go to MissDanish.com. That's MissDanish.com to be notified on the details of her book, Can a Dress Change Your Life? Where you'll find all the pre-launch details.
So welcome back, eLounge listeners. We are just having some awesome, awesome conversation, hanging out with Miss Kaneta Calloway from Broken Chains. Y'all, she's dropping some major nuggets in here this evening. Have y'all been taking notes? Like, we have been talking for about 45 minutes. I've been taking some really, really good notes. But something that really struck me, Kaneta, when the returning citizens come back, I love that you use that they also have to have some ownership, right, and getting back to what we call a little bit of a normalcy. Accountability yes. is important. We know that, right? And I like that you're helping them and making sure you put them on the right path, because obviously you don't want them to fail, but they have to make sure that they have some ownership in this thing as well. So that really hit me before we went off the break. So I wanted to just make sure that people understand that Kaneta is here to use as a conduit to really help you, but also there's a role that you have to play as well. and that is called Ownership and Accountability. So thank you for that. And thank you for this conversation. We're gonna be wrapping up in just a few moments. I just have a couple of questions. So All evening we've been talking about broken chains, and I agree with the ladies, this is a labor of love. I have had a nonprofit for over 10 years, and I know how hard it is to really stay in the trenches because it can get difficult. You do want to throw up your hands sometimes and say, you know what? But it's not about us. It's about the people that you're serving. And so I want to hear a little bit about your volunteer opportunities. How can we get involved? How can we help? What kind of programs, projects you have coming up that we can possibly help you with?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking that question. I can tell you my volunteer opportunities are great and wide. And I say that because starting out as a new nonprofit, and you probably can relate to this, Tanya, you know, you don't have a lot of money, number one. You're really operating on the good graces and the donations from, you know, your donors, you know, through fundraising efforts, through any grants that you can apply for and obtain. But mostly, you know, we need people who have expertise in various areas. For instance, like grant writing, we need grant writers. We have need for people with skills to basically develop programs, who also does marketing. While we have people, and I can say this proudly and also to the fault of being a burden, but I can say this, I have had to wear many hats where I have learned a lot of things and skills, build a lot of skills in running a nonprofit. However, I have realized, and not that I even want to, I cannot do it all myself. You know, I have a board of directors, which they're very good. However, a lot of them work full time. So, you know, what efforts they can and support they can contribute outside of that, I'm most grateful for. But in order for us to continue to operate effectively, we need the support of our volunteers. And again, we need people who can come out and help support our efforts when we have events like our outreach events. We just did an outreach pop-up clothing giveaway to one of our local family success centers over at Clay Terrace. We literally had 25 bags of clothing, shoes, jewelry, hats. We had pictures, we had other household good items that we took over there. And thankfully, through the volunteer support that I had, I was able to set up the whole space as a boutique for the citizens to come in and peruse the different clothing items, you know, take the clothing items, coats, hats, whatever it was that was provided. But without the support of volunteers, I would not have been able to do that. So we need support for those type of events and efforts. We also have a huge outreach effort where we provide backpacks to our returning citizens with essential care items. Although we have backpacks ready to go now, there will be an opportunity in the future too to help stuff backpacks where we can have people, volunteers come out and basically put together those essential care items and put them in the backpacks. We have people who we need to have be able to maintain the website. I've been maintaining the website. And matter of fact, I created it and I'm maintaining it. so, you know, those are some of just the various positions, you know, that we need volunteer support in. I know a lot of people just, you know, they call me, you know, I want to help you. That's great. I love the fact that people have a heart to want to help and support and make a difference in the community. However, you know, we're looking for people, not that we're turning anybody away. We just want to basically understand what expertise that you can bring to the organization and help us to advance our mission. And, you know, there will be a series of questions. We have a volunteer questionnaire and assessment form that we use to kind of, you know, understand where we can best utilize those services if possible. We understand some people just want to be able to be on a call list where they can just be called when there are special events. That's fine. And we welcome that. However, we're still looking for people who can serve in roles again that are vitally important. Again, like I said, you know, having people with marketing skills, have people with IT and web skills, have people who can set up the computers when we're doing these study labs, excuse me, have people who basically can serve on our outreach, be an outreach coordinator. So those are some of the things, you know, that, and God knows I can use a special assistant, an executive assistant of some kind. Right now I'm being her, him, they, and everybody else. But, you know, that's just the nature of starting a business, a nonprofit, you know. And I tell my kids, this is, Mom, my God, you're working harder now than you did when you were, you know, working for the federal government. I said, let me tell you something. If I can't work hard for myself, then I shouldn't be working hard for anybody else, you know, and that's just my perspective. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm basically laying a foundation that basically will be able to sustain and basically be around for years to come. So, you know, I don't mind the hard work. It's just that I realistically, I cannot do it all myself. So I welcome volunteers.
I love it. That I mean, you said a mouthful, like you list everything. You can do something. Expertise in grant writing, develop programs, marketing, IT skills, outreach programs. You have a boutique, wear clothes, backpacks, essential. Like, there is something someone can do. If they don't have the expertise in these areas, give a donation. You know,
yes.
Go and help
with
the backpacks. Like, all those things are important. And so I understand with nonprofits, your business is really based off your volunteers, and you need
Absolutely.
People that are going to be able to volunteer their time. And so y'all catch that, all of that, because we'll wrap it up at the end, and we'll have Miss Kenetta kind of, you know, give some information how you can reach her. But I, again, my hat just goes off to you, and I will be supporting you, and especially the essential care items with the backpack.
Thank you.
So. I'll be in touch with you regarding that as well, especially with the holidays coming up. I'm going to make sure that I can give something.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we just got a call from one of my partners, organizational partners, who basically asked if we could provide some clothing for a family who recently suffered a fire and lost everything. So, you know, we get calls like that, and we're partnering with an organization that we just did the clothing, pop-up clothing giveaway to. They're doing doing a holiday dinner and need turkeys. So I'm like, we're going to find a way. We're going to get you those turkeys, girl. She was like, Miss Calaway, oh my God.
Yeah, we will definitely get them. Count me in. We'll talk offline about that, how I can support.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
You're
I
welcome.
Appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome. And I'm sure the ladies here in the lounge also want to, we collaboratively will get together and do what we can, what we need to do. So
we
love to serve in that area. So count on us.
I appreciate
it. As we wrap up, I want to just kind of get a little bit, you know, your vision for Broken Chains and what you plan to do in the next 5 years. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. What does that look like to you?
Wow, what that looks like. What that looks like for me is Broken Chains will be an organization where we're just not one, not in one location, but we're basically spread out throughout the DC metropolitan area and right here in DC, where we have these comprehensive walk-in ready centers, where we can be able to help facilitate, the reentry of our citizens. By meeting those needs immediately, by helping them to get essential care packages, helping them to get transportation cards right there on the spot, helping them to get vouchers for housing, helping them to basically get counseling, get clothing, be an all-inclusive, comprehensive system, a center or organization where we can also provide a center where we can have our returning citizens come in and be able to use computers right there on the spot to help them create their resumes, to help them search for jobs, to receive training on job readiness. While there are still organizations out here that do that, we're just going to be an extension arm of those organizations that exist to help further strengthen the resources and support that are in the communities to let people know that, yes, we are here. A lot of the resources and services sometimes aren't always geared to returning citizens. We want to know, we want them to know that we are here specifically to help meet your needs. So therefore, we will have centers throughout DC that be able to walk, where people can walk in. The DC government, Department of Corrections, have a ready center already. It's just one center that's located at the DC jail. But my concern is you've had 400 inmates move from the DC jail over to Pennsylvania recently. So what's going to happen to that service? You know, the district is changing. And when I say it's changing, as you know, there's a lot of gentrification going on. And it appears not just in local and personal housing, but it's also in businesses too. And it looks like the DC jail has been affected by that. When you move 400 inmates out of the DC jail to another facility out of the state, what's the likelihood of them returning? Now, I don't want to get into all that, but to say, having a broken chains in these different quadrants of the city, it would be able to provide an opportunity and provide resources for those returning citizens come home and know that they exist and know where to go so they can take the guesswork out of it.
I love it. You laid that out. Like, that's a vision.
Yeah.
Broken chains all across the city. Like, amazing. That is a vision. That is, yeah, we're going to just claim that's going to happen.
Oh,
that
yeah.
is, yeah, that's going to, we'll put that in the atmosphere. That is, that's what we need.
Yes.
That's what we need for people just to have the walk-in centers, walk up, get what you need. I'm just so excited for you and what you have planned for the next 5 years. And just, I'm just in awe. Thank you so much for sharing as we wrap up this segment. It's been a pleasure. Thank you again for joining
Thank
us this
you.
Evening in the lounge. We want to, before we conclude, we want to make sure that you give our audience how they can get in touch with you, your website, your social media handles, all that good stuff. How can they reach you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We can be reached through our website, which is brokenchainsdc, all one word, .org. We can also be reached via email at brokenchainsdc@gmail.com. We can be reached through our phone number, 202-372-6548. We can be reached on Instagram at Broken Chains, Inc. We can be reached on Facebook at Broken Chains. It's Kenetta Calloway /Broken Chains. You can definitely reach us in any of those forms of media. We will be happy to receive your requests, receive your desire to volunteer with us. And more importantly, we will be happy to receive your donations, monetary donations. If you would like, go to our website, click at the top of the menu, make a donation. You can make your donation right there on the website. We thank all of our donors, all of those who have provided support to us thus far. And thank you, eLounge, for the opportunity to come on here and share with you all the work and great work that we're doing at Broken Chains.
Thank you so much, Kenetta. Amazing.
Absolutely.
As we close out this, what a way to really, no, nonprofit is for the month of November. This was amazing. Thank you so much. So everyone, eLounge listeners, this wraps up another segment of eLounge podcast. You all, until next time, stay safe, be good to each other, and we'll see you on the other side. Have a good evening.
Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life.
your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life.
In the lounge.
Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life in the lounge. Take your shoes off, grab a drink, refresh your mind, and elevate yourself to your best life.